May the Lord help us to commence this service with hymn number 507. Hymn 507, we'll sing verse 1 and from verse 8 to the end. How oft I grumble and repine, with blessings in my hand. There's nothing here can satisfy, nor gold, nor house, nor land. Hymn 507, verse 1, and from verse 8 to the end.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the Epistle of James, reading the second chapter. The Epistle of James and chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then now that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. May the Lord grant his blessing upon that sacred and searching word of his truth. May he help us now to pray. O thou most holy and yet most gracious God, come, Lord, and be in our presence, in our midst here this night. For we seek, Lord, once again to gather in the name of Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. And oh, we plead that promise of his lips, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh Lord, thou knowest how we have come this night, we trust, Lord, seeking to be found on praying ground, pleading the precious name and righteousness of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, another day has nearly passed, and Lord, we have had many sins coming from our hearts, through our thoughts, our words and our deeds. Lord, there's been those things that have grieved thy spirit. Lord, there's been many things that have condemned us more and more, only to be worthy of thy solemn judgment. And Lord, we cannot deliver ourselves from the power of sin, from a wicked and evil heart. Oh Lord, we are lost, we're ruined in the Adam fall. But oh, we thank thee for the gift of thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Lamb. Oh, help us to behold the Lamb by faith, the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, which is within us, and manifests itself out of us. Oh, Lord, we come before thee for pardon. Who can need it more than we? So, Lord, hear the cries of each heart so poured out before thee at this evening hour. And may this place of worship not just be a house of prayer, but a house of answered prayer. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon thy word of truth. Lord, we've read a portion of it. O Lord, do lead us, Lord, into thy truth, and may thy truth enter into our hearts. Lord, may it be a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. Help us to cleave unto the word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he and he only is the way, the truth and the life that leadeth unto eternal life. Lord, we all have that solemn day before us when we must leave the things of this earth and enter into a never-changing eternity. Lord, our times are in thy hand. We know not the length of our days. Lord, thou doth instruct us to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom. For Lord, sufficient unto each day is the evil thereof to cast us into hell. But, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we do pray thou wilt prepare us against that day when it shall come, that we be amongst those, Lord, who are bought with a great price of the sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a glorious, wondrous sacrifice on Calvary's cross, declaring it is finished. Oh, the price of sin has been paid. The power of the Lord to condemn has been put away. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is a defeated foe. Oh, may we be in that number, Lord, for whom Christ died. And when our last day comes, we take our last breath. Oh, may it be but a gateway from this sin-cursed earth into a blessed eternity. Lord, we know not what it is to be there. But, Lord, we read in thy word of the beauty and the grandeur and the glory in earthly terms. But, oh, how short that must come of what it is, Lord, to live only under and within and surrounded by thy love. Lord, oh, may we meet one day there and dwell there forevermore. Until that day, Lord, we need thy help. Lord, we need that grace of thine. We need thy Spirit to rule our hearts and govern all our words and ways. We need thee, Lord, to go before us day by day, hour by hour. Lord, we've begun a new calendar year. Oh, we need thee, Lord, to go before us step by step, even day by day, hour by hour. Lord, we have those expectations. We have those hopes. We have those fears. Oh, Lord, we commit all things unto thee. Lord, our times are in thy hand. We would not have them anywhere else. Lord, thy hand is a gracious hand. Although thy word says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. For thy ways are not our ways. Thy thoughts are not our thoughts. And we are sinners and we need thy chastening and thy rod. And, O Lord, but thy hand full of mercy to lead us and keep us and teach us the good and the right way. Dependence upon Jesus by precious faith, ever looking unto him, and all the glory to his name. So, Lord, lead us and keep us and provide for us. Be with thy people here. Lord, thou knowest each heart and each pathway. Oh, we thank thee, children are found in the courts of thy house. We commend them to thee and those unable to be here tonight, even the little ones, the babes. Oh, be gracious, Lord, and surround them with thy love. Hold them in thine arms, close to the bosom of thy love. Shield them from Satan in these evil days. And may they grow healthy and strong develop their faculties, Lord, and draw them, Lord, to love thy word of truth. Lord, draw them to love the things of Jesus. And may they know thy love within their hearts. Be with them in their education. Lord, help them to learn and understand those things which will be for their good in their conduct and pathway of life as they grow through adolescence into adulthood. Lord, be with the young people. Oh, we commend them to thee, Lord, in their pathway, higher education and occupation, friendships, relationships, those of the marriage bond. Lord, young parents, Lord, those expecting children. Oh, Lord, we commend all to thee. Lord, do be gracious, do be merciful, do hear and answer their prayers. And Lord, do guide and direct in the way of thy truth. Lord, from the young people, from the rising generation, oh, may there be many, Lord, whom thou shalt call by thy grace. Set the knowledge of thy Son within them and use them to the honour and glory of thy name. May be members of thy church, visual members, Lord, of thy church, those who can testify openly of the mercy they have found. Lord, oh, do bring forth those who are willing to bear the burden. Lord, in mothers in Israel, pillars in the church, deacons, ministers of the gospel, pastors, Lord, oh, do provide in this evil day. Provide, Lord, for thy people here. Lord, thou knowest their prayers. Lord, thou knowest their longing desires. Oh, Lord, who bring forth fruit from the ministry of the gospel, fruit to thine honour and to thy glory. Remember any, Lord, that have sickness, pains and afflictions. Lord, those who are hindered day by day in the common tasks of life. Maybe the grasshopper, the small things, as we would say, becomes a burden. And Lord, as one gets older, so he comes to pass. Lord, do hear their prayers. Lord, do undertake for them day by day. Lord, remember those who have the care of others. And Lord, those who carry the burdens of the good of those who are infirmed in whatever way. Lord, be their help continually. Lord, do give them all needed wisdom, all needed grace, and bless them in their deed. We do pray, Lord, for those who are bereaved of loved ones. Oh, Lord, we commend them to thy grace. Lord, do appear in the comfort of thy love. Lord, do grant the warmth of it in those quiet moments, those lonely moments. Lord, may it be known thou art there and provide, lead and guide. Lord, day by day in a new pathway. Oh, Lord, help them to lean upon thee, their God. Lord, we do pray for those that preach the gospel. Lord, we pray where they are this night. Some, Lord, labouring in thy name. Others, Lord, may be laid aside through weakness or cannot fulfil their engagements as they once did. Lord, remember our friend Jabez Rutt and, oh, deliver him fully from the COVID virus which he has contacted. May it not spread to his dear wife. We pray for her. Oh, Lord, be with her every moment, night and day. May she rest in thy love, thy redeeming love, knowing that nothing can separate her from it. not even the affliction that she is in. And others, Lord, who have their trials and temptations concerning the salvation of their souls. O Lord, do appear in the power of thy Spirit to speak pardon and peace. And Lord, send out others to preach the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, may the pulpits of the churches be filled with the truth as it is in Jesus, proclaimed, full and free. Oh, maintain our liberties of worship in our land. Lord, as the enemy rises up to seek to overturn the liberties we've enjoyed for centuries, Lord, do not let them prevail. Do not let it come to pass. Lord, we value those things of our liberties, of our privileges. Do not let us value them more by the loss of them. Overturn the tides of evil and ungodliness. And may the children and the young people, those growing up, Lord, still, Lord, be able to freely worship as we have enjoyed, we who are older all of our days. And do not let thy word fall to the ground, but in them, Lord, may it accomplish that which thou doth please, and prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, remember our government. Oh, Lord, we must pray for them, thy word tells us to. Lord, what can we say? Lord, we mourn over all that seemingly is wrong and has been done wrong. Oh, Lord, but so much is made of one thing and another. Lord, we commend them to thee, for we're all sinners. Lord, we've all come short of thy glory. Lord, if thou can save a poor sinner like this, thou can save those of our government and appear in the power of thy Spirit unto them and turn them about, Lord, from the error of many ways and give them the wisdom, the strength, Lord, the understanding, the knowledge in all matters to do what is good and right in thy sight. Oh, Lord, do remember us as a nation. Keep us from the power of evil. Lord, blessed is the nation whose God is thee, the Lord. May we still prove thy mercy and not thy wrath and not thy judgment. Lord, we've tasted of thy judgment and still do. But, oh, we pray thou wilt remove the virus, Lord, now from our shores and from the other shores of this world. And may there be an acknowledging, oh, that it is thy hand, the hand of thee, the Almighty God, and bring many humbly to thy feet. Be with those in other lands. Lord, we pray for thy people everywhere. We know not who they are. We know not where they are. But, Lord, thou knowest. Some are greatly persecuted. Some stand alone like a sparrow upon a housetop. But, O Lord, visit them with their soul's salvation. Strengthen them in the faith, nothing wavering. And destroy, overturn the power of all enemies. Hear us then, Lord, in all these our petitions. And as we turn to thy word, O Lord, do open it up to our understanding. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive thy truth. Do not send us empty and untouched away. Lord, may the words of these my lips and the meditation of my and each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, bless the singing of the hymns. Even use a line of those hymns which have been written, Lord, under the influence, Lord, of thy teaching. Lord, do bless them now to us as we sing them. So, Lord, May this time, this night, not be a time in vain, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 886. Although we sang this on last Lord's Day evening, I feel prompted to give it out again. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole. A cup of blessing for the poor, that's free and full and flowing all. Hymn 886.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. That which we attend to and meditate upon this night will be for our good, both spiritually and providentially. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter which we read in the Epistle General of James, chapter 2, and the last words of verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 20, the last clause. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. The whole verse reads, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. There's been much consideration over a great number of years who this James was. We read of three Jameses, or could be three Jameses. There was James, the son of Zebedee, John's brother, who was a fisherman. But he was killed by Herod in those early days of the church. So it's considered that that James, the brother of John, was not the author of this epistle. We read of James, the son of Alphaeus. Was he the same who Mark calls James the Less, to distinguish him from perhaps the other disciple, James, the son of Zebedee, who may have been taller? Paul refers to James, the Lord's brother. There can be much debate about who James was, but it doesn't matter, does it? Provided he has been led by the Spirit to pen the truth, the whole truth, the counsel of God, for the benefit of us in this earthly life and for the good of our souls. He calls himself James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Writing first and foremost to the 12 tribes, the Jews, that were scattered abroad throughout the world. Whoever James was, he was very forthright. He was very abrupt. You might say, no doubt, he was easy to cause offence by the sharpness of the tone of what he writes, let alone how he would have spoken. And one of those things which has caused much debate and much consideration is that of our text. Faith without works is dead. Many have said he is writing completely differently to the Apostle Paul, where he says we are justified by faith alone. But dear friends, I think we see in this epistle of James a blending very much with that of the Apostle Paul and of Peter and of John. In that where he says faith without works is dead, the converse is also true. Works without faith are dead. there's a combination that where there is faith, living faith, there'll be an effect of it in that what we say and that what we do. How we conduct ourselves in this life. Oh, what a searching precept it is, isn't it? What effect has our faith in the Jesus Christ had upon our earthly characters, upon our earthly nature, upon our conduct, upon our life? Faith without works is dead. And works without faith are dead also. James is writing to the Jews. And we know that the Jews put a lot of emphasis and dwelt much upon their works. Their righteousness in accordance with obedience as they saw it of the law. Their faith was in themselves. Their faith was in whom they were, the children physically of Abraham. Their faith was that the law was given to them. And through obedience to that law, they would have eternal life. God was pleased and satisfied with that. And dear friends, that faith within them, that they were worthy of eternal life of themselves, caused them to be very strong and strict in judgment of others who were not the same physically as themselves. But the Lord Jesus very solemnly said, unless your righteousness, that's your works, which they did, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Because there was no faith. There was no faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. When Jesus walked upon this earth, oh, we have many accounts, especially in John's Gospel, of where they questioned who he was and why he did what he did, why he said what he did say. And Jesus very solemnly said to them, unless ye believe that I am he, that is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, unless ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, dear friends, these weren't outwardly murderers and robbers and drunkards. They lived a religious life. But their religious life in an outward sense was their foundation. They built their hopes upon that which they achieved themselves and whose they were through their ancestry. Dear friends, that foundation upon which they built those hopes, when they come to leave time for eternity, would be found far short of that which is needful to be found acceptable before a holy God. This searches us out, doesn't it? Searches us out in our conduct, our thoughts, our ways. The broad way is a very broad way. It's a religious way. A religious way where we can attend Oh, to the outward form of the worship of God. And we can have an intellect, a faint intellect of faith, as we might say, in the truth concerning Jesus. And we can trust in ourselves that the way we have been brought up, the way in which we've attended to many things, we're acceptable in the sight of God. Or we may say of others as we look at them, they're not one of us. Dear friends, what a solemn expression that is. They're not one of us. Who is the us? Are we those who are self-righteous and they are sinners? Or are we saying we are sinners and they are righteous? They're not one of us. Dear friends, we're all the same, aren't we, of our earthly nature? We've got our different characters. We've got our different strengths. We've got our different faults and failings and good things concerning us. And dear friends, whatever we do upon this earth can never earn us eternal life. Our kindnesses, our loving deeds one to another. Dear friends, do they satisfy your pride? That's where our earthly contentment so often comes, doesn't it? Satisfying our pride. Oh, that others are well pleased with us. We've done that which satisfies our own self and upholds our own esteem. But how solemn is that word, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, the Lord deliver us from it. How we need, don't we, to search and try our ways. As David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, do you know that prayer? Do the things of your own heart trouble you and grieve you continually? You know, when we think of those descriptions of the wicked, it searches me out. God is not in all their thoughts. Dear friends, God may be in some of our thoughts. But we read of the wicked, the fear of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. We determine to do that which is right in our own eyes. Determine to go our own way, make our own plans, make our own schemes. And we look at others, perhaps outside of our own realm and outside of our own circumstances and families and friends, and we see the wicked and those who are taken up with abominable practices, and oh, they seem to get on very well indeed. Friends, those of us who are older, we've all grown up, and some of you here tonight, you're growing up. Do you know those thoughts and feelings within you? That the way of truth, the way of the Holy Scriptures is a burden, is a restriction, is something you don't desire naturally of yourself. Perhaps you say, when I'm getting older, I can choose for myself. Oh, I shall go the way of others who seem to enjoy themselves, and all is so peaceful and good for them. I shall not be bound by the things of God's Word and God's Church. Do remember Asaph. who thought exactly the same thing. You read Psalm 73. He couldn't give himself faith in God. He could only give himself faith and trust in the way of this world and the way of the wicked. What a mercy that the Lord showed him the end of the wicked. Asaph was a server in the worship of God. He was one of David's Levites who was appointed for the singing and the psalms. But none of that would get him into heaven. Dear friends, what we learn from the scriptures is very solemn and searching. That nothing we can do. We should do those things which are right, yes, in accordance with the word, but on its own works without faith. They are dead works, and they will never earn us eternal life. So we come to the importance of faith. The importance of faith. What is faith? Well, we read that faith is something we cannot give ourselves. It's the gift of God. Let me try and put it as simply as I can, but illustrations always work very, they always turn out very poor, don't they? When I was young, I used to try walking down the road where I lived with my eyes closed to see what it was like to be blind. I didn't take many steps before I was forcing my eyes to be open and to see exactly where I was, what was going on around me, so I could know and understand that I was going in the right way. Oh, sight, our eyesight, it's precious, isn't it? Through our eyesight we can see, we can know, we can understand, we can perceive all that's going on round about us. With our eyes closed, we may have a little perception through hearing and smell and touch. But we don't know exactly and understand things as we should. And we can get ourselves into great danger. You know, it's like that with faith spiritually. Although we don't have the term the eye of faith in the scriptures itself, it's a term we often use, isn't it? Because through the grace of faith given to us of God, we see the truth as it is in Jesus. We see what we are of ourselves, sinners. Through faith, we understand that we need a salvation to be saved from God's wrath in that last day of judgment. We see that there's nothing we can do to save our own soul. We see the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now death is the sting of sin. And he came to be made sin. The sting of sin, not his own, but that of his people. Those who were unworthy of the least of his mercy, yet he came to bestow all his love. His redeeming love. The only redemption that could satisfy the fulfilling of the law was to give himself a sacrifice for sin. The Lamb of God to take away the sin. We read, don't we, sometimes sing, how willing was Jesus to die, that we guilty sinners might live. Now faith is through faith we come into the knowledge of this truth. Through faith it becomes part of us, becomes part of our heart. Through faith we embrace the truth as it is in Jesus. Through faith we fall before him, confessing our sins, believing, knowing, oh, that he is able to save us from our sins, the purpose of his coming. And dear friends, through faith, there's nothing else you desire more than to know your Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. He becomes your greatest possession, your faith, your trust, your knowledge of the forgiveness of your sin. And dear friends, we don't worship, do we, a dead Christ? We worship a living Saviour, one who destroyed the power of sin to cause death. He rose again from death, destroying the power of the grave, to give eternal life unto all those for whom he died. And those for whom he died, he says, they shall come. They shall come. And I will in no wise cast out. They felt faith, the blessed gift of God, to see, to know, to understand, as we do with our physical eyes the things of this world, so we do through faith the truth, as it is in Jesus. And dear friends, that has an effect upon us. For we read in the scriptures, don't we, of the blind being brought to Jesus. We read of one, that Bartimaeus, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, what a change came upon him when the Lord said to him, receive thy sight. He couldn't give himself sight, could he? It was only the power and the mercy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus. So it is, dear friends, with us spiritually. Oh, you children and young people, what a prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm blind to the knowledge of the truth. I need the opening up of my heart and soul through faith. I need that precious gift. I need to know that which Paul wrote of to the Ephesians, to the Gentiles. Oh, how he says, yes, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're born dead in trespasses and in sins. And of ourselves we are wicked. The lusts of our flesh, affecting the desires of our mind. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others, great sinners. But this is what we want to know, isn't it? This is what we plead, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Oh, why should he love me? I'm a sinner. But oh, that working of the Spirit has begun. You need this mercy, you need this grace, you need this faith in Jesus. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And a few verses lower down it says, doesn't it? For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, the gift of God. No wonder Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ and the gift of faith to behold the dear Saviour, the Lamb of God, who gave himself a sacrifice for my sin. Dear friends, that's the faith we all need, isn't it? The scripture says we are not to covet. But there's one thing we should covet, the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Oh, don't lie content with what you are by nature. privileged though that we are to have the Word of God, the house of God, the ministry of the Word of God, a praying, loving parents, and oh, kept outwardly from any heinous sins and crimes. And we can't rest on that, you know. We can only rest on this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed and believed on by faith, the precious gift and working of the Spirit. Jesus says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, dear friends, that's going to have a great effect upon you, isn't it? And it has upon some of you here already tonight. It has upon me. It changes the heart. It renews the will. It turns the feet to Zion's hill. We seek to do that which is the honour and glory of our God, he who has loved us when we did not love him. But God commended his love toward us, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we love him because he hath first loved us. And the exhortation is to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Now we come into these works, aren't we? Dear friends, where there is true faith, we are compelled to seek to walk in love to Christ as he has loved us. Our desire is to be ruled by the Spirit of God, to possess the Spirit of Christ. Oh, it's a solemn word. If we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. And what was the Spirit of Christ? Dear friends, he did not please himself. He came to do that which was for the good of others. No, we can't give to others the salvation of their souls as Christ has done. But dear friends, in love to Christ, we can seek the benefit and the good and the help of others who are in need. We have an example here in James, don't we? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Well, James is saying very clearly, where there is living faith, there will be the compelling to do those good works, even though it might cost you. Cost you perhaps things which you would, left to your own nature, would not be willing to part with. But in love of the brethren, but in love to the others, even the scripture says, to love one's enemies. And we're not we enemies of Christ? Enemies of God, rather, when he gave us Christ, and Christ gave himself a sacrifice for our sin. Whilst we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Oh, dear friends, what an example. What a standard. Dear friends, these things come very close to us, don't they? How much do we live to ourselves and not to the good of others? How easy it is, oh, to see one in need, one in great trouble. And yes, even pray for them, that the Lord will provide. when we could provide and help them ourselves. We should still pray for them, of course we should. But if we're never exercised to supply that immediate need. Oh, John is very, very searching, isn't he? In his epistle, his first epistle, I think, and his chapter 3. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What a question. It's through these works, there's the evidence of the faith in Jesus Christ, who has given himself for us, shed that blood and given us of the love shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in us, then that compels us to walk in that love and to do that which is needful one for another. Faith without works is dead. It isn't true faith, in other words. It may be intellectual faith. It may believe in Jesus in a nominal sense. You can perhaps debate the whole of scriptures and be doctors of doctrine and theology. But if it's not this fundamental faith given of the Holy Spirit, of the truth as it is in Jesus, then, dear friends, there'll be no works based upon that faith, based upon that love of Christ. You know Abraham, James speaks of Abraham, doesn't he? And we read of Abraham, that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But James also brings in the deeds of Abraham. Abraham believed God by faith, and when God spoke, go, leave Haran and go into the land which I will show thee, and I will give unto thy seed, Abraham went. Abraham not only heard the word of God, but dear friends, he had faith to obey. He had faith to obey. It doesn't mean to say Abraham was sinless. Abraham was a sinner. Abraham's faith was tried. Ours will be tried. God said to Abraham, and that's when Abraham believed God, that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven. And he hadn't got any children at all, had he? But he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, that he believed God. But because things didn't happen in his own time scale as he would have had it happen, and Sarah was barren, he took the matters in his own hand, doesn't he? He then, when Sarah gave him Hagar, he wasn't walking in faith. They weren't the works of faith. They were the works of his own self, even though he was seeking to fulfill a promise of God. Oh, dear friends, how careful we have to walk, don't we? How we have to pray earnestly to how to be led aright in the ways of God, to in accordance with his will, to obey his voice and all his will esteem. That didn't do Abraham any good, did it? But the time came when Abraham had again a faith. When Isaac was to be born, we read in Hebrews 11, don't we, of the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah to conceive seed. That which wasn't possible at the time of man, naturally speaking. Sarah was past childbearing. Abraham was old. But dear friends, by faith, there was the work of faith, the conceiving in Sarah, And she bore a son, Isaac, as God had said. Oh, dear friends, that wasn't dead faith, was it? That was living faith. And when God said to Abraham, go and offer up thy son, Isaac. Dear friends, what reason is there in that? Here was Abraham's great faith, living faith. He obeyed even though it was against all natural thought and sense and intellect. Why? This son of Isaac given to him by faith, now go and offer him as a sacrifice. Dear friends, Abraham went in faith, saying to those who went with them, before they went with Isaac up to the Mount Moriah, I and this child will return again, will return again. Abraham believed God, living faith, that what God had given him and what God had promised would not be taken away from him. Oh, dear friends, living faith is a very, very precious thing, isn't it? We can't give it of ourselves. We can't even act it out of ourselves. We have to have the influence of the Spirit within us at all times. And there upon Mount Moriah, Abraham about to slay his son, there was the ram caught in the thicket. Abraham having said, God will provide himself a lamb. Yes, there's prophetic there regarding the coming of Jesus. But Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord shall provide. Now, dear friends, that's the case with all who live in faith, true faith, living faith, faith based upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the salvation of their soul, the pardon of their sins. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He who not spared his own son, but gave him up for us all. How much more shall he freely with him give us all things, all things. Then, dear friends, we're to walk by faith, aren't we? Not by our own earthly sight. Oh, yes, there's many things we have to do. Many things we have to decide upon. Many things we have to contend with and manage and be occupied with upon this earth. What an exhortation to commit all things unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Dear friend, that's living faith, where you desire to walk in the way the Lord would have you go. And dear friends, that faith will be tried. But Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, he shall lead you forth by the right way. Dear friends, whatever situation you're in tonight, I don't know. Have you got to go in a certain way? Is the Lord constraining you? Well, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Oh, the faith of Abraham. Dear friends, what faith we need today, don't we? To trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faith without works is dead. Yes, there are those commandments which we should walk in love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might and all thy strength. And to love thy neighbour as thyself. Jesus said to the disciples, oh, they were to love one another as he had loved them. And Paul speaks about that love, doesn't he, in its practicalities. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the body, unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a standard to live one to another. But how should we live unto Christ? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, dear friends, that's a good work. It's not for your glory, it's for his glory. It's for the evidence of his mercy, the evidence of his love. The evidence of that gift of the Spirit is the evidence of that love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's the evidence of that faith which has been given to you to embrace it and constrain you in what you say and think and do. It's a good work. The Jews said to Jesus, didn't he, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Dear friends, do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That he came to save a sinner such as you, revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. You've had faith to embrace it. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Oh, don't neglect these exhortations. Our walk in this earthly life is to be to the honour and glory of our God. Faith without works is dead. And works without faith are dead. What a combining we need, don't we? Just one thing in closing. The last day of judgment. When we shall stand in that solemn place where we shall enter into a never-changing, a never-ending eternity. The state will never change. There will be our eternal standing. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then they would answer him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink, saw thee as a stranger and took thee in naked and clothed? In other words, dear friends, they hadn't pleaded those things. Had they as their right of entrance into glory? No. They said, when? Their plea could have only been the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for them, of which they'd been given the faith to believe and trust in him at all times. And then that had influenced. They'd influenced their life upon this earth, how they conducted themselves, walking in love as Christ had loved them. They were unprofitable servants. That's what it is, isn't it? When we come to that last day, no matter what we do, we have to say, Lord, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. And dear friends, we shall fail and fail and fail again in doing that duty, but it'll be our desire to do it. And because of that desire and because that was done, It was the evidence of their faith. Faith with works was not dead. Faith with those works was the evidence of eternal life within them. The work of God, the work of Christ. Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Oh, but to those on his left hand, he said the same thing. Ye have not done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren. Ye have not done it unto me. And they said, when did we see thee? When did we do that? When didst thou come? They'd lived unto themselves. They hadn't sought to walk in love as in accordance with the word of God. The word had never been a lamp to their feet or a light to their pathway. They may have lived good, moral, upright lives. They may have been like those whom Jesus says, Lord, we've done mighty works in thy name. We have cast out devils and done many things. But he said, I depart from me, I never knew you. They were pleading their works, weren't they? Works without faith is dead. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And that's where they would remain forever and ever. Oh, dear friends, how these things search us out, don't they? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven is thy credentials clear? Yes. We need this faith in Jesus Christ. And the effect of that living faith to do that which is right in his sight. The evidence that we are born of God and that our treasure is above. Faith without works is dead. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Tim Kingham on Monday evening. Let us close with hymn 630. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side. To wait on self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. Hymn 630.
forgive all that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this night. But do take, Lord, of thine own word. Cause it to abide in our hearts. Cause it to affect, Lord, all things of us spiritually and physically. Lord, help us, O, to live unto thee, as Christ came to live and to die for us. Lord, rule in us by thy Spirit, that may we be true witnesses of that good hope of eternal life thou hast planted within. Be with us as we separate. May we do all those things that bring peace. For, Lord, it is thy peace that we desire to know, our ends to be everlasting peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.